everybody. This is
Good evening, Matt.
Hello there, Jan.
This is live from Ordinary Miracles here in Cotati, California. And it's great to be back. I was gone last week, and you were gone the week before, so here we are together.
Yeah, where the heck were you?
Well, I was at the Globe World Sound Healing Conference down in Los Angeles in Woodland Hills. What an amazing time we had. David Gibson organized it from the Globe Institute in San Francisco, where I work, where I teach voice from a healing perspective. And he had Don Campbell, Don Estes, Fred Bell. It was a smaller but very intimate, intense conference. There was only about 100 attendees, but there was as many vendors, actually, great vendors this time. But we had, it was almost like family and meeting and re-meeting. And I think, as you think, Matt, that we both know that sound healing is the leading edge for the transformation of our planet, that working with sound is healing and awakening people as never before. And so the people that were there were committed to this platform. And interestingly enough, our guest tonight, who is Eric Larson from Sonic Age, working with the Cymoscope, I spent a lot of time with his partner, Adam Reed, from Ashland, Oregon. And I just adore Adam, and we just laugh when we see each other because it's a sound community. It's almost as if a moment has passed since we saw them last. And my partner and I, we had all these chimes. Randy Master does all these amazing chimes from all these numerological equivalents. And we would have to take these baggage carts up and down the elevator every day. So you'd hear this tinkling of these beautiful chimes, to the music of the spheres and the rainbow. And then all the sound healers were open their door. Hello, Jan. Hello, Randy. And there was Adam Reed. So it was just really, really wonderful and very intense, very intense.
Well, one way I look at it, you and I know that everything involves frequency in many levels and dimensions. But for most people, the first exposure they have to anything regarding frequency is sound. So using sound as a metaphor, we can then use as a way to lead people into different ways of understanding and working with frequencies.
It's all about resonance, resonating with people. Food has a resonance. Everything in the universe has a resonance.
Yeah, people.
Matt,
yes.
Tell us about your work with frequencies. This is our time to do our little commercial here.
Well, it's ironic. I spent many years in the music industry working with music. And now I do something called voice mapping, which works with the human voice and works with the frequencies in the human voice. And I learned about 4 years ago that there's a connection between muscle and memory. And I knew from working with Rolfing, which is deep tissue massage, that memory seems to be stored in the muscles, in particular, sort of in the tendon muscles that the fascia, it's called, the tissue surrounding the muscle that evolves into the tendon. And that when a rolfer sometimes touches a deep point, the client suddenly starts crying and doesn't know why, or laughing, or remembers a peanut butter sandwich they ate when they were 4 years old. So it has to do with releasing the energy around the memory-muscle connection. So in my work with voice mapping, somebody talks into a microphone for about 30 seconds on a particular specific subject, and emotions and memories connected to that will be reflected in the visual voice map that then is generated. And those frequencies are then organized in a way that we then send them back to the client. And that's the biofeedback process that does the unlocking, the releasing, the allowing of the insight and understanding into the origin of stress and trauma. And sometimes it's a very subtle level where people just realize, hey, I just feel more relaxed. You know, other times it's getting rid of patterns where they stop fighting with their family or they're no longer afraid of money. You know, I've got hundreds of stories about just how each person uniquely responds to this.
It's called those hooks. It releases the hooks that bring in those sort of patterns.
and maintain a status quo that
you
they're
don't
not aware
it
of
anymore. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's a little taste on voice mapping. And if you go to my website, mattkramer.com, MattKramer.com, scroll down to voice mapping, and you can learn a lot more about it.
So voice mapping works mainly with the emotional matrices.
Right.
And the work that I do, having been a registered nurse, and I also sang, and over the years, I wondered why I had two totally different careers until I started working with hospice patients. And I sensed that the singing that I was doing at the bedside was more profoundly healing and nurturing and helping them through the processes than any medication or nursing procedure. So as I began experimenting and looking into healing music and using my voice, I expanded and took some classes at the Psychoacoustics, and along came a wonderful program that could help me actually show in a left brain way that our bodies are frequencies and can be measured. These measurements, you can assign musical notes, and you can correlate those notes to your actual health and well-being. And there are correlations for high blood pressure, high ANA sharp, stressed adrenals would be D sharp. And so the beautiful part for me was realizing that if a person were unbalanced vibrationally and you could assign notes to it, you can actually sing your way back to health. And I know it sounds simplistic, but it's that beautiful. That's exactly how the Creator has made our bodies, that we can sound and rebalance ourselves. And tonight's guest is so intimately Eric Larson part to this whole new explosion of diagnostic tools that allow the scientific and validity for us to understand that the human body, in fact, when they sound, make a myriad of beautiful patterns of frequencies. And now, back to the voice bio. When a person has a certain frequency profile, we call it a wave. Now, my wave, Matt, is probably smiling over there. I love the maleness of this guy, so grounded. Most females have a wave that you know, it's the bell curve. It goes up on the top. That's because women are usually a little bit more thinky, anxiety, and nervous, and they have a high F&F sharp. So they get around like a guy like you, that's really staring at me intently, and you have a dropped inverted wave. So when I'm around you, you absorb my extra sympathetic nervous system.
I wear extra padding.
Yeah. You have more insulation to stress. And you absorb my F&F sharp. And that's how couples attract each other. It's resonance again. You need what I have. You need my F&F sharp to energize yourself. After this is funny. Matt Kramer's the only person that ever fell asleep doing a voice bio session. He burns a candle at both ends. He's a mediator and all different things. And working here in this intentional community. But
well, you told me I needed to sing or play G to get balanced.
There you go. See? Perfect. That's just what you need, a little bit of energy in your liver. So that's how we can even look at the mate that your frequencies would resonate with. We can help you get out of patterns. And this is where medicine is going. We're not going to call it medicine. It's going to be energy wellness. In the future, we'll be able to just scan someone and figure out sound, light, and color, what they need. Put them in a chamber, I call it a transition chamber, and they'll come out all balanced.
It's like tuning a room before a musical show. You tune out the feedback, and the sound is balanced. You do that with the body?
Well, how
sounds
fascinating.
Good.
Acoustic balancing, acoustic excellence.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that with your mind, too. As a priestess in the Church of Isis, we learn that our thoughts, when we really amp them up with divine energies, we can go into a place and create and set an intentional space for clearing, invocation, and that in itself can change the nature of a place. And you can feel it. You can actually feel it. Our thoughts have energy. And as we go through our process of finer and finer energies, you can call it ascension, spiritual advancement or what, we actually are able to go in and read each other's thoughts. I believe in the future it's going to be like the internet without the hardware as we become more advanced in our ability. We're human walking antennas. We're actually laid out to have those communications, I believe.
Some of us look forward to that. Others run screaming into the distance.
I think you're always happy to have a guy singing a sweet song on the guitar.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about the worst thing and the best thing that happened. Now, I've got a biggie. We were on our way home. This is a miracle. We call this program Live from Ordinary Miracles. And last night, I had a very lively miracle. My partner and I were driving home, and it was raining and muddy, and one of those nightmare things happened. In a flash, in a
moment.
Where
were you?
We were off 101 Espinosa Road, kind of the Santa Cruz area.
Mm-hmm.
Picture lettuce fields.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got the picture?
Yep.
Okay. That's where we ended up, right in the middle of a field, lettuce field. We slid, the back tire got caught, and in a flash, that feeling of like we're out of control. We have no idea where we are going. We slid across in front of oncoming traffic. There was telephone poles. We hit a ditch, and we flew into the middle of a field. It was no regular field. We immediately sunk into 18 inches of deep Mother Earth mud, and our car was so stuck. And, you know, when I think about it, people have been telling me to be more grounded lately, so that was quite the profound message there. But the good news is I called 911. A beautiful female policewoman came out.
Your cell phone worked in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. All of these miracles. A fellow came with a tow truck and just practically went cross-eyed when he thought, how am I going to get that car out of this thick mud? I never even had to get out of the car. My shoes stayed clean. He put a winch on our car, and we slowly were yanked out, and I drove away. This morning, I got my wheels aligned. I got my car washed, cleaner than ever. That was a miracle. We evaded complete tragedy. So that's my story. How about yours?
Well, I always have this challenge, you say the worst thing, because usually in the worst thing, something positive comes out of it. At least we're lucky in our part of the world. Friday, I was having dinner with four friends at Cattleman's Restaurant in Petaluma. And we're just about done with dinner, and the manager comes into the room. And Cattleman's is a large restaurant, many rooms, and lots of energy. And he says, the waters have risen, the firemen are out on the highway, and if you don't leave now, you'll be trapped in the parking lot.
Whoa.
And I have a Prius. I've never driven my Prius through 2 feet of water before. So the good news out of that little adventure was that, hey, a Prius can drive through 2 feet of water and keep driving. So call that the worst thing.
Okay.
What's your best thing?
I already said it.
Oh.
You're not paying attention. I already
it's still resonating with the mud.
We have all those miracles. We definitely were in the mud. And I told my partner, we could have just taken a mud bath to get grounded. You know, we were at Calistoga last week. Well, maybe we should move on to our guest tonight, who is Eric Larson.
Is he grounded?
Yes, he is. He's a tall teddy bear, an amazing, amazing gentleman, and he lives on the East Coast.
Ah.
So I have the good fortune of meeting him at different sound events, again, with our friend Adam Reed, and it's really a wonderful and a joyful thing to work with these engineers and scientists who are making the sound healing work really valid and credible. He has been part of the engineering of a beautiful new invention called the Cymoscope. It says, open your eyes to the wonders of sound. And I'm looking at the beautiful brochure right here. And at the Santa Fe conference, I was actually able to make a glyph of my voice. And Eric sent me two beautiful pictures of my voice. He has a poster. He's done Sting's voice. Not just people's voices. This machine takes pictures of the whale song, makes beautiful concentric circles, the dolphin song, lots of beautiful vibrations in a circle.
Well, looking online,
Connie,
I see.
Owl. Let's tell our guests where they can look and see these beautiful patterns. Simoscope.com.
Eric, what would you suggest?
Yes, hi.
Come on in.
Hi.
Join us.
How are you?
Great. Good evening and welcome.
Oh, thank you. I've just been listening in the background. My mind is still on the pretty cop and the peanut butter sandwich from earlier in the con.
Right.
Oh, do you want a pretty lady to come in and make you a peanut butter sandwich?
I was trying to think of like what kind of tones I'd need to tune myself to taste the peanut butter jelly sandwich that I was hooked to.
Mm-hmm. Spoken like a true sound.
You know, if you perfect that, Eric, you'll have a major
Imagine
invention
that.
There.
The peanut butter jelly sandwich frequencies.
I mean, for one, you could end carnivore consumption and just give everybody a frequency of it, and they'll have the same experience.
See, we're coming up with ideas already.
Right.
So the Simoscope, yes?
Oh, no, you say what it is. I have all the, okay, you talk about it, and then I have all this wonderful print material here I'll fill in if you
great.
Notice anything.
Okay.
Tell us about your Simoscope.
Well, the Simoscope is a collaborative project between my partner, John Reed, and myself. We've been working together for going into the fourth year now, I guess. And the Simoscope is a device that makes sound and vibration visible by vibrating liquid and sand on a rubber membrane in front of a speaker transducer. In a really particular way, in a controlled environment, we can see the inherent shape of the form of sound with the Simoscope.
Is there any comparison with sonar?
Well, interestingly enough, the original crystals that Hans Jenny used to vibrate plates with, Hans Jenny was the original founder of cymatics, which is what really the science of sound and wave phenomena is where we get the term Simoscope from. Hans Jenny used to vibrate the plates with piezoelectric crystals, and piezoelectric crystals they're really high frequency, but you can ring up plates with them, and in a similar way, but with the actual sound waves themselves, we oscillate a membrane in a container with water in it, or we oscillate the membrane with sand on it. The sand moves to the silence, and the liquid vibrates right where the vibration is. So it sort of shows you the skeleton of the sound, and then the liquid sort of shows you the flesh of the sound.
Uh-huh.
So when you take an actual picture, because sound is movement, right? And what you have here, so you're actually taking a picture like a slice of the movement, and this is the beautiful part to me. It says, music made visible is the first entertainment medium that shows the true nature of sound. It does not travel in waves, as commonly believed, but it propagates in expanding spheres. And the Simoscope allows us to see these hidden structures. For instance, the glyph that you sent me, it's almost as if it's little sea anemones that reach out with tentacles, with these beautiful funnel-like features. And when they move, do they move like undersea creatures?
They do, actually. And what you're looking at with the simoglyph is actually a cross-section of the sound bubble. John Reed, my partner John Reed, has written some papers which are available at soundhealingresource.com, which is one of our websites. You can read all about his spherical nature of sound. It was just published by the ICEM people. And he'll talk about how really sound is an electromagnetic bubble. And we've been talked into sound being a wave by looking at the graph of the energy of sound on an oscilloscope or mathematically on a graph. But if you think about it, if you think about what actually comes out of your throat when you speak, what would make it wave like that? Really, it's a round electromagnetic bubble, which is coming out of our mouths when we speak, or coming out of anything in nature. It's actually round. And so in the cymoscope, you're actually looking at a slice of that bubble as it passes through the membrane.
So it doesn't have to actually come out of a human's mouth. What if I'm just sounding and humming with my mouth closed? Is that a different pattern than with the mouth open?
It is. It is different. And many sounds have a lot of different overtones and a whole bunch of sounds mixed together. If I went around the house with a microphone and I recorded the cat, if I recorded the door squeaking, if I recorded...
Somehow I think you do that, Eric.
Yeah, I do that.
You do that.
You can look at it on the cymoscope and see what it looks like. And so you can play an instrument, you can play a guitar or a piano into the cymoscope, you can put a microphone into it, you can run a stereo into it and watch the music in the liquid or in the sand as it goes.
I want to describe the cymoscope. To me, it looks like a big bird cage, kind of gold on top, kind of, you know, 21st century-ish, has some blue things in there. And my first introduction was at the Sound Healing Conference in May in San Francisco last year. You were across from me, and I didn't know you, and I was trying to do voice bios and have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that cymoscope was making tones and sounds, and there was always a big crowd around you. And at one point, I wish I had a sledgehammer. Because the whole time, people were so, it was like the exploratorium. People were surrounding it with joy and exciting and watching it. And at one point, you even hooked it up so all the participants could see it on a large screen, right?
We did.
You were playing, what were you doing, playing music so they could see the patterns of sound being formed on the...
Yeah, we had a bunch of people come out, and somebody played the didgeridoo through it and a cello and did toning, throat singing and things like that so that people could see they could see it move.
So seeing sound in motion. Now, what are the practical applications? I can see education, schools, children, maybe research for animal patterns. What was the thought for making this machine, and how have you plugged it into practical uses?
Well, the original thought that brought us all together between Jeff Volk and my friend Steve Fox and John Reed and I was the idea of making a kid's toy. Like a tonoscope, like Hans Jenny's tonoscope, but something that was commercially viable that would make it so that people could move sand with their voices within a very affordable unit. So we designed a small kid's toy called Junior first.
sweet.
And it's like a little rocket ship that you can sing into and put sand on top of and see your voice with. So from there, we got into developing the bigger cymoscopes and the high-frequency scopes, and Junior is still to come. Yeah, the Junior one will come. But with that, you could teach Hans Jenny's original idea for the tonoscope was to help teach deaf kids to speak, because if you can make the same shape with the same vowel sounds every time, the shapes are repeatable, then you could show people.
Is there a therapeutic aspect for children with articulatory defects? They could actually use it as a biofeedback, right?
It is like a biofeedback, yes. And I think the biofeedback area of it, because it can be very sensitive, will really plug into.
Speech therapy and auditory enhancement, children with learning disabilities, I could see the applications there.
The cymatics really helps with the eye-to-ear connection. It actually gives you an eye-to-ear connection that through any other mediums you couldn't really connect in that way. You're seeing two different levels of reality on one plane sort of happening at the same time. When your brain first locks onto the sound that you're making is forming sacred geometry in sand, it really changes the way you think about things.
I could see children with sensory disorders. I've had a lot of experience with children with these sorts of issues, and my daughter was diagnosed with the autism spectrum at one point. And I'm reading here at your brochure, words and sounds create sonic patterns, simoglyphs, on the simoscope membrane, providing a valuable tool for speech therapy. The visual feedback supports teaching deaf children to speak more clearly, assists people to overcome speech impediments, may be employed to help stroke victims relearn speech patterns. Aided by the simoscope, children with autism, cerebral palsy, and Down syndrome can be supported to enhance their speaking skills. And it seems like it would be a fun way, too. A really fun, interactive way.
Well, if a child sees a direct connection between what they're saying and a visual response.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the whole experience of playing with cymatics, of having the sand in your hands and physically applying it to the device, and you really kind of feel connected. It's almost like playing a game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, and it's almost like a little science experiment, too, and just when you see the matter move under the influence of sound for the first time, it really captures people's attention.
It's a sensory integration experience which is vital for so many of our children now, particularly with their rising rate of behavior and attention deficit, that they're not getting the multisensory experiences in the classroom. So I would love to see you get some funding to get this out and about. What are we looking at for the cost of a unit for a basic?
You read my mind.
School unit here.
Well, we initially started shooting at making the Simoscope special edition, the SE and the P models that we make now, which are up on the website, for about $4,000 or $5,000 a piece. But we were only able to do a short production run of them, so it costs more to make a few things. I'm working on a design. The new models now sell up more. We do like a whole display for a museum, like we did at the Explorer Museum in Albuquerque, for about $20,000 now.
Okay, great. So if someone wanted to support and donate to your program, they would go to.
To simoscope.com is the best place to get in touch with us. We're really looking for opportunities and people to apply what we know. We're doing cymatic services right now, and John Reed and I are doing the first testing back and forth to say, okay, this frequency looks like this on this scope. Can you duplicate the results on the other side? And starting to come up with our first big library of what shapes, what sounds look like what. And so more than selling scopes right now, we're taking in people's sounds, we're taking in people's frequencies, and we're doing more work for people. And in doing that, raising the money to come out with the next line of simoscopes, which I hope to be more in the price range of about a good guitar, between $1,000 and $2,000.
I know that the use for singers in vocal programs would be very advantageous to learn to make those pure tones. But I wanted to go a little bit deeper now. In my work with the voice, I have found that the voice print, the actual signature, the vibrations in the voice are so not just related to the organs and the physicality, but also to the core soul and spirituality, that there is a particular pattern for you. I'm sure you're familiar with Don Estes' work. When
yes.
he has a person speak into a microphone, there is a dot matrix created that if a person has not done personal work, the healing and releasing, it's more diffuse. But if a person has actually done more work, say the Dalai Lama, his voice print has a beautiful, symmetrical, almost like mandala, colorful form. Mm. So because you sent me from my CD, you took two distinctly different voice prints, I was astounded to see in one of them there was an actual figure of a woman with her arms up and her arms down below, a very shamanic style of woman. It was like an indigenous. And she had a third eye, and she had a sphere around her head, which made me think, is there a symbolic, spiritual soul? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there something that you're finding about these prints that says something deeper about the personage. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, certainly. I would say the beautiful images that came from your beautiful voice spoke particularly of the quality of what you sound like. You know what I mean? It was beautiful, the shapes that came off of your voice.
So would a more trained voice have more balanced and, I guess, what would the word be, more pleasing and spherical versus someone who are just making sounds, an untrained voice?
Well, what I'm finding is that the parameters that need to be controlled when you do cymatics, the volume of the sound, the amount of liquid that I use, the tension of the membrane that I use, I can dial in different images from people's voices. So if I get a recording that has some distortion on it or is louder or somebody sings more nasally or something like that, I can usually pull shape, pull geometry out of the sound by playing with the volume. Sometimes a sound that might not make a sharp geometry in one setting will really come up with something beautiful in another setting. And so a lot of sounds that you would think would be annoying actually make some pretty nice geometry. And so to say that certain people's voices relative to who they are and how spiritually practiced they are or what kind of clearing and releasing work they've done, whether that connects directly to what type of geometry they create cymatically, I don't know. But we're here to find that out.
Yes, it sounds like similar to Dr. Emoto's. I understand that his technicians can choose how deep to have the photographic equipment be, which crystal to do. So when you actually choose which image, you're obviously choosing something which is pleasing, right? But perhaps there's an entire spectrum of choices within the realm of the dolphin sound, the realm of, say, John Doe's voice, right?
Well, let's say this, that when I'm photographing something in a focal plane that's three-dimensional, which is what the liquid is, I'm actually looking at different slices through that sound bubble. And so if you look at the image that you have of a cymoglyph, which is a two-dimensional representation, you can imagine those lines extending in three dimensions up to complete the geometry in the whole bubble. So really the different images are the same image, they're images of the same thing.
I see.
Just at a different section of it.
And you how do you take a picture of it? What kind of equipment can like slice through a spherical geometric sound form?
I take it very, very carefully.
You didn't answer the question. What type of equipment? Is this special electron microscope? What is it?
No, it's not. It's not a microscope. It's just a really good camera and the right kind of lighting. I shoot through a ring light and setting the speed. It's there's a whole world of pictures in there, and when I play with the speed and the light and the saturation of the pictures, I really come up with some pretty wild stuff.
And they're so beautiful. Right now, 3 feet by 3 feet on canvas pictures of some glyphs are at my partner's home, and they're just stunning. They're colorful nature concentric patterns. Now, say if a singer or someone wanted to see their vocal pattern, and you actually can send that to them email, right? How would they get their voice?
Yes, that's right. If I get recordings, if people send me recordings of their instrument, of their cat, of their favorite song or their favorite sound, I can image it on the cymoscope here and send them back a digital image of it in the email.
Well, that's pretty easy to do. Now, how would they contact you to do that?
The best way to contact us is through our two websites, through thesonicage.com. and through soundhealingresource.com.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a basic price for that? Would that be listed on your
on cymoscope.com? We do have pricing on the harmonic signatures, and we do we put them on canvas. We have them transferred to canvas, and we sell frame prints of them and posters and things like that.
They're so beautiful. So tell me, I know you are an engineer. We're watching you right now in a little movie on YouTube. Hi, Eric. Tell me what your role was. You told me that you kind of got downloaded how to design this. Can you tell me about that process?
Well, I was building a little acoustic cymatic device when I met Jeff Volk, and he told John Reed that I was building cymatic devices. We got together very shortly after that, and I'd been building guitars. I used to build guitars in guitar factories, and I was a tool maker.
Okay.
And so when John and I got together and saw that we were sort of working on the same thing, we went into building prototypes. So really, I build prototypes and production models, and then I figure out how to make the tooling to build them.
And what exactly do you specifically to these sound devices? Had you done sound before? Was this a new initiative? What was your inspiration here?
Well, I was into audio visualization back in the 90s, actually, with computers and projecting computer-based visualizations behind bands. And a lot of that just sort of thumped along to the bass, and it was pretty rudimentary. And I was always looking for a better way of visualizing audio for live performance. And I was setting up a shop in Vermont and part of an inventors network up there, and a friend, a guy I didn't know, turned out to be a good friend of mine, Steve Fox, walked in and said, I heard you're setting up a shop and I want to move some vibrational equipment into it. And I just looked at this guy and said, okay. And I met with him a couple days later and he showed me the Hans Jenny book and said, do you think you could build a kid's toy that could do this, you know? So that's what got me into it. And it's just held my attention for quite some time.
I'm thinking of a nice synthesis here. A concert the other night at the World Sound Healing Conference, it was 3D. Now, can you imagine these glyphs morphing with the sound, with your cymoscope there, put into a 3D format so it could actually be spherical? People could almost reach out and touch it. Have you ever thought of doing that?
We have. And one of the things that we're working on right now is called Music Made Visible. And it's actually 3D cymatics, 3D live cymatics.
Oh, my goodness. So you'll actually be able to see sound pulsing around, morphing, right, in front of your eyes in a 3D aspect.
Live as you play it, you'll be able to see it projected behind the band. So see that soon.
Imagine seeing the sound of a harp, let's say, or an orchestra.
Yes. Well, the nice thing about making a smaller, less expensive version of the cymoscope is that every musician can have their own cymoscope so that you can distinctly separate out the frequencies. You can just see the singer's voice in that one. You can just see the guitar player, the piano player. Being able to send all of the audio signal into one scope, the bass will take over, but if you can separate it out, you can do really stunning live performance and really see everybody and mix with the video over everybody's cymatic signal.
With what you've learned working with the cymoscope, is there anything that if you went back to making a guitar, you would approach differently?
Yeah, now that I've really what we were talking about earlier in the program is resonance. Everything has a resonant frequency to it, materials, and certain things you want to resonate in trying to do this, and certain things you really don't want to resonate at all if you want to isolate out the shape of a particular sound. And I learned a lot about materials and what needs to sound a certain way and what needs to be really dead. And
at least Stradivarius had a cymoscope.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the first uses of cymatics, which goes way back to Chladni and the Chladni plates, was that the violin makers used to put sand on top of the violin, and they would stroke the side of the violin like the piece of wood, and they would, instead of tuning by removing wood from the back, they'd tune it to create a certain cymatic shape on the top, and then know it was done when they had the right shape.
Oh, that's fabulous. Are you a musician?
Yes.
What do you play?
I play guitars and sing. And
you sing? I didn't know that.
Yes, I do.
Well, let's sing together sometime.
Let's do that.
We could have had you send a little clip to play on the show tonight. Have you recorded?
I should have done that. Yes.
Do you like the music
yourself? I'm playing right now with some of my friends from 25 years ago back in college that we're getting together and playing acoustic music, and we sort of play jam band kind of psychedelic funk music.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I have another kind of a question.
Yeah.
Which would be, I don't know how you would do it, but to go into different environments, let's say, for example, a factory where maybe there's a sound environment that's actually destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And would that be something you could read with a cymoscope and help advise whoever's controlling that space how to redefine it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the biggest fields in cymatics and in really understanding sound is how to tune up environments to be healthy for people. And I think that the cymoscope is going to help to show what the effect of sound and noise and distortion and all sorts of electromagnetic interference, really, that we come in contact with affects us and affects things around us.
Be like a diagnostic tool. You go into an environment and measure its, you know, toxicity, because our bodies are electromagnetic matrices, and you can just show the cacophony. Is that the right word, Matt? Cacophonic?
Cacophony.
Yeah, the disharmony of various environments, and you could get things back on track.
Well, I grew up in machine shops doing machine tool work with big, huge machines and a three-phase environment with the big mercury halide lamps over us and things like that and a concrete floor. And a lot of machinists will put their hand on the machine to feel the vibration to know if it's working right. You know what I mean? But you're direct coupled to some real strange waveforms and sounds and vibration, mechanical vibrations, you know. And if
tuning forks.
Well, just like tuning forks, except you know, some of it you're exposed to it all the time. If you're working in a manufacturing environment, you're exposed to that particular set of frequencies all the time.
And aesthetically, yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that in the future they'll be able to diagnose. You know, you were talking earlier about scanning people to find out what ails them so that you can tune them up. You could do the same thing to work environments like that, I think.
You can rebalance them by bringing in the frequencies that are the tritone relationship. That's what the body begs for. For instance, the C note, the antidote to that is the F sharp. If you have too much F sharp, you need C. If you have too much C, you need F sharp. So you'll go in and you'll diagnose it, and then you'll bring in some, say you have too much ka-chink, ka-chink, bring in machines that go cha-cha, cha-cha.
There you go.
I know that's simplifying it, but we do need to have environments that are healthy. And my feeling is, even if you are broadcasting coherent, balanced, pulsing images of nature, say the dolphins movement, that is going to imprint visually, and then the colors, and then if there were sound, more balancing into that human's field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just having
I think that the system that you have, where you can analyze what people's bodies need by their voice, that would be the input device in an environment. You could be recording somebody's voice and then feeding them back what they need right in a real time loop.
Exactly, but I'm thinking you can actually have your cymoglyphs morphing, you know, on the walls. You go into your psychiatrist's office, and you know, the whole wall is having these beautiful sonic morphing things. Well, what kind of education prepared you for this, or were you always this kind of an inquiring, creative mind? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I need to talk about my education, huh? Well, I went to college for 10 years, and I never got a degree in anything. And I did mechanical design engineering when I started, and found the girls were prettier in art school and went there for a long time and did sculpture and visual design and things like that. Yeah, and then so got into building instruments around the sculpture and music scene.
So you're an artist, this sensitive artistic researcher, creator.
I never, you know, one thing that ties us in common is the sacred geometry stuff. I never heard or never listened for word of the phi proportion or sacred geometry or any of this before I got into the whole cymoscope thing. And John Reed was like, well, I'm into phi. And I didn't know what that was, and I went and looked it up, and it turns out that all the devices that we build now are designed to the phi proportion into the sacred geometry. So the form that we're looking for back out of the instrument is inherent in its design.
The basics of nature, the basics of everything is sacred geometry. Very exciting field.
I was challenged by something earlier when you talked about sound from the human voice being electromagnetic, I think, generation. I think of the voice being analog and generated by a physiological system.
Well, analog is electromagnetic, right?
In terms of the old recording tape, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the you're picking up on vibrations in whether it be a coil or a membrane. Really, the cymoscope is like a speaker or a drum or a microphone. This really sends a microphone is a speaker and a speaker is a microphone, depending on
right.
which way you run it. The cymoscope is like the next a more sensitive slice. It's like a really sensitive studio mic that lets you actually vibrate stuff on it and see what's happening.
We have, for our listeners, we have Eric Larson here, who's helped create the cymoscope, a beautiful machine that can actually photograph sound in real time. Eric Larson, are you going to go with us, our sound healing tour to Egypt? I'd love to have you there with your cymoscope there.
All my intention is to be there.
Well, I hope so, too. Get your money in. Let me just make a quick commercial about that. We're taking an amazing trip. We really don't know how many years we'll all be able to go over to these pyramids in Egypt. The world just seems so fragile and unpredictable. We're taking a sound healing trip to Egypt with Paul Hubbert, sound master, visionary, and Randy Masters, maestro of the singing universe, sacred geometry. And this trip will be April 26th to May 7th with the Mount Sinai option. There'll be a lot of sound, a lot of education, and let me just go ahead and give you Paul Hubbert, who's the director of this trip, his phone number, 512-891-7887, and that's www.holographicsound.com, and Eric, love to have you along on that trip. It would just be so enriching and so wonderful. We have about a minute left for your section, and I'm just wondering, is there any final thing you'd like to say or anything you didn't get a chance to say? Or
well, I just thanks for having me on, and I think that if anybody out there is interested in cymatics, they should get in touch with us. We're looking for folks to help us move the thing along. And if cymatics, if you've seen it before and it's really important to you and you sort of have that passion for it in your heart, get in touch with us. And we're looking for people to work with to really open this field up. We think it's a really important thing.
What kind of skills do you want people to have?
Oh, we need people to help us to sell the services and to help
marketing.
Us with the art and the fundraising and grant writing and educational people. We're also looking for peanut butter sandwich makers, and yeah, just anybody that we're interested in hearing from anybody that's into it.
Well, I just love all of you. You guys are so amazing. And another miracle thing happened. My son's in law school in San Francisco, and he had broken his arm, so I had to drive him to his class one night of all things. He's all grown up, but it was one of those fun things. And who is crossing the street? But you and Adam Reed, the cymoscope makers, right there. And I live an hour and a half away. So it just goes to show this sound community is connected really in the most magical ways. And I invite anybody who has an interest in this field, really, give Eric a call. This is a really wonderful, dedicated group of people that I believe, again, that this sound is at the forefront of healing our planet, of allowing people to see the interrelationship of humans to nature, intervibrational, so that we can have more respect and more make better choices, just make better choices for the healing of ourselves and our planet. So I honor you, Eric, and your whole team. And thanks for staying up till midnight there on the you're in Boston, right?
I am.
I think it's 1 o'clock in the morning now.
1 o'clock
it's 1
in the morning.
O'clock.
Well, good night, Eric, and thank
things
you
are just
for
getting
joining
started.
Us.
Thank you very much.
Great
All
talking
right.
with you.
Good night, Eric.
Thanks. Bye now.
Matt, do you have any announcements, my dear?
Well, for folks that are closer than Boston, I have a little wonderful little concert coming up Sunday afternoon here in downtown Cotati at Ordinary Miracles. some of you may know David Gans, who has the Grateful Dead Hour on KPFA. He'll be here with Ira Marlowe and our own Allegra Broughton, wonderful, great singer from the Sonoma area, doing the Songwriter Circle. That's 3 o'clock this coming Sunday. 4 o'clock out of Seattle is a neat songwriter named Larry Morante. And let's see.
Well, my turn until you think of something.
Sure.
I'm Jan Sircone, and my website is Music for Joy and Healing. I work with people's voices for healing. I work with women's groups, special workshops. We have a workshop coming up, The Mysteries and the Sacred Divine Feminine. That'll be with the partner, Randy Masters. March 8th and 9th in Aptos, California. The songs that were played tonight on our show are from a collaborative CD, As Above, So Below. You can get that at cdbaby.com. And also I have an exciting announcement. I was directed by Spirit to pull together a journal that I've written these last 3 years of things I've learned working with the voice and moving through various things in my life. It's really my own story of awakening to different truths through sound. And it's a manuscript. It's called The Voice of Union, and it is available. You can email me. Just go to my website, musicforjoyandhealing.com, if you're interested in taking a look at that. I think that's it. We have 1 minute left, Mr. Matt. Any jokes?
Well, chances are what I come up with, you won't approve of. I actually have something to say.
Okay, here you go.
A little special thing. I live in a little co-housing community here in Cotati, and we hosted some tamale makers, a little fundraiser for a local nonprofit. And so I'm learning how to make tamales. It's really kind of fun and kind of arduous as well. And part of it is you have these big buckets of chilies, dried chilies, and you're breaking off the heads and separating
Ooh,
that.
They burn the skin.
Well, that's what the executive director said. He says, make sure before you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands real well.
Okay, that's not too terrible of a joke. Is that a joke?
No, that's real life.
Okay, now I have an announcement. We have coming on February 27th, Brad Tilden. He's a composer, a fabulous young man who does lots of sound healing. He was my student at Globe Sound Healing Institute, and we'll be interviewing him February 27th, and I think we're ready to sign off. Thanks for joining us tonight, live from Ordinary Miracles.
And we'll see you next Wednesday, 9 o'clock, right here.
Jan Sircone and Matt Kramer. Good night, Matt.
Good night, Jan.
Hey, everybody. This is Nancy Drake. I am a star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show.
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
edit.
Health,
Energy, and Science show.
Health, Science, and...
We just call it the Dr. Bell Show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only okay. a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health, Science, and...
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose each Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the BBS Radio Network. Come where the results are always positive. Explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You'll be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch. X Squared Radio.